Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Work a corner. You need another pass rusher as well. So there's about five needs you need to solve with two picks. So maybe the answer is you trade one of those picks back a little bit and try and get some more picks.
DJ, we got a me and Show got a little bet. We got a little side bet here on Justin Herbert. Before we get into Justin Herbert, talk to me a little bit about these, about just the quarterback, the top quarterbacks in general. Tua's little video that he put out the other day, which was awesome, by the way. Great to see that guy moving. If you've ever, which you have, DJ, if you've ever taken a drop and move like that, you understand that's putting a lot of torque and pressure on your hips in order to do it the way that he's doing it. So that was impressive. But talk us through the top three or four quarterbacks in this year's draft real quick.
Yeah, sure. To me, I think there's the top two, then there's a little bit of a gap. So I have Burrow and then Tua. Burrow is just, you know, obviously he's healthy. You start there. But decision-making, accuracy, poise, pocket awareness, they're at an elite level. He does not have a huge arm, but he doesn't need to throw within anticipation, timing, and touch, and I think he's outstanding. And then Tua, I was glad to see that well. The question with him is not going to be, can you get him up to 100%? The question is going to be, what's the likelihood of recurrence with this hip? And that's where you got to rely on your medical people. But both those guys, I imagine, you know, Burrow's going to be the first pick. Tua more than likely probably will be a trade-up situation to the third pick with Detroit, which would be either the Dolphins at five or the Chargers at six. And then you get to the next group, which is Herbert and then Love, and it's a floor-ceiling debate. Justin Herbert, higher floor. You're not going to miss on him. You know, kind of a steady Eddie, but not a real playmaker. And then Jordan Love is a higher ceiling, lower floor. So there's risk there. He did not play as well this year, but man, he's probably the most natural thrower. Like if you want to just have the NFL version of the 3-point contest and just watch Jordan Love's as pure as it gets.
Well, help us out here, Daniel, real quick before we let you go. Well, we got a bet, a steak bet, a real steak, not some cheap stuff, a real steak bet that Justin Herbert, I believe he's going to go into the top 10. Clint does not. Where do you see him fitting?
Ooh, I'll say I do believe he will go in the top 10.
Let's go.
I'm not saying I would take him in the top 10 because he is, as we sit right now, a month out from the draft, Justin Herbert is my 20th overall player. So I don't view him as a top 10 talent, but I think he'll be a top 10 pick.
Thank you, Daniel. Fantastic. Daniel Jeremiah always gets things right, and I believe he got that right as well. Thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, well, he ain't getting no – DJ, you ain't getting no damn invite to dinner.
We'll press on.
Thank you, man. Have a good one. That's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, and you can follow him once again on at Move the Sticks, and he also is the host of a podcast with Bucky Brooks, also called at – Move the Sticks. I'm trying to tell you, Clint, somebody's going to be stupid enough to do it. I'm telling you.
Look, see, when you phrase it like that, I'll give you a little bit of a cut right there. I'll buy you a steak and enjoy it.
I'm telling you, somebody is going to panic. And the Los Angeles Chargers, once they don't get to it, screams panic.
They're going to have that damn Mariota. They're going to have the next Marcus Mariota, a big good-looking sucker, boy. He can sling that thing, but don't ask him to throw that damn bubble.
Hold on, man. It ain't good when Daniel Jeremiah says he's got a good floor, but he's not a playmaker.
Hey, did you hear him talk about that Jordan Love, though? That Jordan Love. He is. That's a perfect analogy. It's like Steph Curry from behind a three-point line. Like, everybody can shoot from back there. Everybody don't look like that when they do it. You know what I mean? Mm. Yep. And that's Jordan Love. He's right. He's hitting it on the head on that one now.
We gotta get to this, Clint. Deshaun Watson is tweeting again. Mm. He's tweeting again, and I'm gonna tease you a little bit. I'm gonna make you wait before y'all get your thoughts on that. We'll get into what these tweets from your quarterback Deshaun Watson means coming up next. Clint Sterner on the show. Hughley B-Mac producing this bad boy. Much thanks to Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network for joining us. He always does a great job, and I just found out my man was a quarterback. And I'm glad you took the high road, Clint, and didn't let him know. Because I almost took the time to look up the score of that game when y'all played Louisiana Monroe. I don't feel like it was close. And it's nice of you not to rub that in, because I sure
we didn't beat up especially back in 97. We weren't very good, but we didn't typically beat up on the. We played all those Louisiana schools, ULM, of course, Louisiana State. The LSU was in our conference, but we played Southwest Louisiana. We played Louisiana Tech back in Tim Rattay's day. They always had some good ones, man. They had some good ones back in the day. So we never did beat up on them in an embarrassing fashion. They were always a tough-ass game. And DJ, I had it backwards. DJ went to Louisiana Monroe, and then he transferred to Appalachian State and started 2 years at Appalachian State. So he danced around a little bit, but started at two different universities. Yeah, man, good dude. He got our defense that day beat him up pretty good. He let me know that last time.
All right, man. I do got to get your thoughts on this, man. I got to stop looking at Deshaun Watson's tweets, because he has me thinking, oh, what the hell is he talking about? Earlier in the week, he set everybody off, and it was a national story about him quoting Drake talking about duos being ripped from the seams. Then this was late towards the end of our show. He tweeted out, which I don't know what it means, don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up? And then later, never take advice from a person who don't love you. You got to walk light, and you got to stay above water. I don't know what the hell that means.
Well, it's lyrics again. You got one of them's lyrics. One of them's, I believe it's Lil Uzi Vert. You know who that is?
No. Yes, I do. I know it's lyrics, but I don't know what the hell he's meaning by what he's saying. That's what I'm saying.
I ain't gonna sit here and act like I've been listening to Lil Uzi Vert. Now I ain't doing it. But I know who it is, and their lyrics. And show, man, I think, and again, you know, I take things too serious, and I tend to dig in probably a little deeper than I probably should on these kind of things. But I think we're getting to a point where, with Deshaun Watson, that taking that next step that you and I discussed over the last couple of days from a development and a maturity standpoint, I think it's critical that he takes that next step and he makes that move. And things like this, regardless of what his intentions are at some point in time going to be not in his best interest. You know what I mean? I mean, we're living in 2020, and these cats are on social media, and – we as media, we dig into the lyrics of something maybe a little deeper than they should. But to me, when you're Deshaun Watson, right? If it is indeed a message that you're wanting to send, then at some point in time, Deshaun Watson's got to pick up the phone and talk to the coach or talk to the organization about it versus tweeting something, right? And if you're simply throwing lyrics out and just having a good time with it, which you may very well be doing, then you've got to really be careful of what the media is going to do with that information that you put out there. Not that you should give a rip, not that you should give a damn what anybody thinks, either way. But I believe that there's certain situations where guys are powerful enough, like Deshaun Watson is. He's carrying a big stroke, whether he realizes it or not, that sucker's got some power now. And at some point in time, I just think things like this may be allowed to go too far.
Come on now. Now, listen, this ain't no coincidence, right, Clint?
I agree with
you. Right. You know what I mean? We can go with it. Is it plausible that maybe he was just happened to be listening to those lyrics from earlier this week with Drake and these, and he happened to tweet them out? It's plausible. I'm not willing to make a bet that it's a coincidence. I think there is some reason behind it, and it is a tad. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, Clint. It is a tad bit disappointing because I understand what you're saying, but there is one position, and you played it. You played in the league, and you played. You got to watch one of the guys who knew in Troy Aikman his role, what kind of stick he played, and everything he said and did and what it could mean. When you are the quarterback of the team, you have to be, as you've heard me say, the adult in the room. You have to be the mature one. You have to be cognizant of everything that you're doing and how it can affect everything, right? And it's a tad bit disappointing because now he is somebody who is making this story much bigger than it has to be, right? I always looked at Deshaun Watson, and the thing that I loved about him was his maturity. He's somebody I never have to worry about. He's somebody who I think is going to make right decisions. When I look at him and Baker Mayfield, I'm like, all right, Baker's a little less mature. I don't know what I'm going to get all the time out of Baker, especially when adversity hits. And Deshaun, I'm not saying Deshaun's Baker. Just these things right here are making the story bigger than actually bringing it down. And when you're the quarterback, I think the rules are different in terms of maturity than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, and I think you get a hall pass for the original tweet. You know what I mean? The ripping apart of the seams right after the DeAndre Hopkins. I think everybody can. There is a human element to these guys, and I think everybody can relate to that and say, hey, look, he's feeling some kind of way about the fact his organization let DeAndre Hopkins out of the building. But as you said, now you've had time to sit around and think about it, and anything that doesn't smooth the waters for your organization moving forward ultimately impacts your ability to win football games. And so when it's all said and done, we've talked multiple times about the maturity of Deshaun Watson and what has to happen. And I don't care what the last few tweets have been about, whether it was just lyrics or not, or if there was actual intentions behind it. It doesn't matter to me. I think as you said, when you're the quarterback of the organization and you're the face of the franchise, I think that even if it's just lyrics, you've got to have the wherewithal to go, you know what, if I hit send, then the entire Houston media, at the very least, some of the national guys are going to catch on to this thing, and they're going to create a narrative that may or may not be true, and ultimately it could impact this team's ability to win games. It could impact this team's ability to attract free agents. It could impact this team's ability to win games in the future. And so it's just one of those deals where when I saw it, I was like, all right, D, it's time to make that move, bro. It's time to take that next step and go in the mature, more developed, more professional take that route rather than the young cat in 2020 that's a quarterback that's fixing to make a big time contract.
Come on, Clint, man. We know people who talk indirectly on Facebook or Twitter over the years where you read that, you know who that's meant for.
Yes.
Like you know who that's meant for. And it's like,
Back in my MySpace days, I'd put a song on that joint, sending a message to somebody.
When I was in college, sent out them Facebook messages, and when your boys, my boy Steve would text me, man, hey man, who are you talking to? Who is that message for? Hey man, chill out, man. Quit subtweet. Quit, chill out, man. Making that, because that's what that was. That's what that was. I'm like, everybody knows. Nah, come on, man. You just now pulled this lyric out. I just, it's, listen, like you said, I want to give space to the human element because there is a human element sometimes, and he's still young. But one of the things that I just that was so special about him is he had the Derek Jeter, you know, the Kobe type of the late Kobe. Like I know this guy's taking every step. You know, he's taking the right step and making the right moves, and you just didn't see things like this is like one of the first moments for me personally that I've seen like him kind of surprise me with his maturity.
I mean, when I look at it, man, I just
it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
I just think it's time. Yeah. I just think it's time, though, Show. I mean, you know what I mean? The more I thought about our conversations yesterday about Deshaun Watson, I was like, you know what? We hit the nail on the head when we were like, you know, moving forward, whether Deshaun Watson is with the Houston Texans or not, the only way he's going to get to where he wants to be is if he takes more control. We had Warren Moon on a couple of weeks ago. Hell, you and I did. It's one of those where he even said it. Okay, it's time for Deshaun Watson to take control of his future, essentially. And this is a very small but important part of what we're talking about. You know, I mean, in order to be able to walk in and demand things within the organization, you got to conduct your business in a certain kind of way. And I just think that it's not a bad thing that these tweets are out there and that Deshaun's having to live through this. But it's just at some point in his career, whether it's now or it's in a month or it's in 2 years, at some point he's got to take that next step if he wants to get to that championship level of quarterback play.
Clint Sterner, Ron, this show, Hughley, Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610. You're locked and loaded live right here, man. I was looking at the Chronicle. I don't know if you saw this story, man. Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, one of the better GMs in the league. He had some comments about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. He said this in a morning conference called this morning. He said the Cardinals ultimately sent a second and fourth round pick to the Texans, but he said that they weren't all the teams weren't given the same deal or the same chance to give the deal that the Cardinals were able to give. So basically, he said that in discussions with the Texans, they had a different offer to them than they did with the Cardinals, which is. Kind of goes to your theory about how you feel maybe that was the best best offer on the table.
Yeah, so, you know, when that thing first came out, I was like, you're full of it. Like, I mean, that's a BS response. There is no way on God's green earth that was the best deal that you could get, that you could have received for DeAndre Hopkins. And the Texans came out with, I believe it was a statement, and said that was the best deal that they were offered.
They said it through Ed Warner.
They leaked it through Ed Warner, right?
Yep.
So you know, you come out with that and you're like, come on, man, that ain't it. And then we have guys like Daniel Jeremiah on the show, and they're like, the most disgusting part of the trade is that you couldn't at the very least get a first rounder. It's just the details and the things that fall through the cracks and that they're unacceptable. And to me, this whole Eagles GM discussing the fact that the Texans had different terms in trade discussions, whether it was with the Cardinals or another team, it was not the same conversations being had. Just goes to tell you that there ain't a whole lot of truth to that. That was the best offer that the Texans could get.
Unless, Clint, they just coveted David Johnson. I mean, that is the only thing that is they really wanted David Johnson.
Yeah, but they, so, even if they did, brother, they're still. I mean, the Cardinals would already. I mean, I think they'd already publicly said that they're not going to be able to get rid of him and his contract, and that they were going to have to eat part of his contract. That was already open conversations. Before the Texans ever dropped this bomb on Houston in terms of trading DeAndre Hopkins, that I mean, it's just inexcusable. If you are in love with David Johnson, then I mean, damn, I mean, cool your jets just a little bit to where you at least get the best deal that you can get for the guy.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you would be in love with David Johnson, and we'll see this upcoming season. I just say that in terms of maybe a team like the Eagles would have given a first-round pick, but maybe they just – only thing that would make any understanding of it, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, is that instead of a first-round pick, they really coveted David Johnson and wanted to pay his salary, and that's how much they coveted him. I just thought, because that's the only
You can't even say that without laughing at yourself.
I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just saying it seems to me that either they just this is what it seems to me, Clint. They either openly searched to get the worst deal they possibly could get, or they really, 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 really wanted David Johnson. And that, because David Johnson's to me why they didn't get better picks, right? Like, because they threw a player,
right?
They threw the player in. So I just, my thinking is they really, really, and we had the Hall of Famer, John McClain, on, who will be on with us in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow. He said that Bill O'Brien has always really liked David Johnson. And that's the only thing that would, I don't know. That's it.
That's all you got. It's the
David Johnson.
Look here. Somewhere in Pearland, Victor is heated up, boy. He's trying to come through that screen at you right now, big dog.
Why? I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just saying, David, this has to be David Johnson. David Johnson better put together a 1,300-yard season.
I'm telling you, that's a meal. Come on, man.
I'm just saying this is where they are, man. I don't even understand it. All right, coming up, I'm really excited for this. We understand so many things are going on, and we just want to take a little time out to maybe see how things are being affected around the city of Houston in terms of how the coronavirus. We're going to have one of the COO, Executive Vice President of Landry Restaurants, one of the top places that those restaurants in Houston. And we're going to have him join us coming up on the other side to maybe discuss maybe some things that they're going through and how we can help them as a city to jump back on board. Keith is going to join us coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.